Wondery Plus subscribers can listen to the CBS Evening News ad-free right now. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
If I asked you how many subscriptions you have, would you be able to list all of them and how much you're paying? If you would have asked me this question before I started using Rocket Money, I would have said yes. But let me tell you, I would have been so wrong. I can't believe how many I had and all the money I was wasting. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has helped save its members an average of $720 a year with over 500 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/wondery. That's rocketmoney.com/wondery. rocketmoney.com/wondery. Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Severe weather threat.
This is a multi-day threat with tornadoes, hail, and damaging winds being our primary concerns.
The intense spring storm that soaked California moves east, bringing dangerous weather. Tonight, millions of Americans are in the path of thunderstorms and flash flooding. The CBS Evening News starts now. Good evening. I'm Nora O'Donnell, and thank you for being with us. We want to begin tonight with more than 95 million Americans in the path of severe storms from Texas to Pennsylvania, with the danger set to last well into tomorrow. 19 states are under the threat of wild weather. Tornado watches are already up in five states, with more expected as the night goes on. Hail the size of grapefruits could damage cars and homes from San Antonio to St. Louis. This massive storm system brought flooding to the West Coast this weekend and now charges east, bringing flooding and even snow to the Northeast. CBS's Omar Villafranca will start us off tracking this powerful storm.
Tonight, the country's midsection is bracing for severe spring weather. A storm system with heavy rain flooded roads in Oklahoma City this afternoon. But that's not the biggest threat.
The tornado threat is definitely there today, but we're concerned about some large, potentially very large, destructive type hail.
Kansas also on alert as ominous dark clouds crawl across the plains. From Oklahoma to Ohio, residents are keeping a close eye on the sky for tornadoes and flash floods. The same storm system pelted northern Colorado with quarter-sized hail today. And along the way, dropped April snow near Albuquerque, New Mexico. And in California over the weekend, it washed away parts of Coastal Highway 1 near Big Sur.
Got a hotel room, figured it'd be fine in the morning, but yeah. It wasn't.
Down the coast in Santa Barbara, the cleanup is underway after heavy rain pushed rocks, mud, and tree branches onto the road. And in Riverside County, an air rescue. A horse had to be airlifted to safety after it became stranded on a muddy riverbank. It is expected to be okay. Parts of Texas, Oklahoma, and Kansas will remain under a tornado watch until this evening. It's also worth noting that this year, weather forecasters are expecting above average precipitation for here in the Central Plains, but also in the southeastern United States. Nora?
Quite a horse rescue. All right, Omar Villafranca, thank you. Let's bring in meteorologist Alex Wilson from our partners at the Weather Channel. Good evening, Alex.
Nora, a very dangerous start to the month of April. Severe weather likely today, tonight, into the day tomorrow. Those Torcon values in that 4 to 5 range. That doesn't just mean tornadoes likely, but some of these could be on the higher end. So stronger tornadoes. Oklahoma, parts of Missouri, into the state of Illinois. These are the areas we watch through the evening. Overnight, now we're looking at parts of the Midwest and the Ohio Valley, not just for strong thunderstorms, but very heavy rain that could lead to flash flooding. Tomorrow, severe threat goes up. Parts of Ohio looking at significant severe threat, and that would include a high likelihood of tornadoes. After the stormy start, we see a brief break, but watch as things get very active and, again, very dangerous, Nora, by tomorrow afternoon and evening.
Alex, thank you. A man is in custody tonight after ramming his SUV into the front gate at Atlanta's FBI office. Police say the driver followed an employee's car through the security fence when the gate came down on his vehicle. That's when he got out of the car, took off on foot, but then was quickly captured by FBI agents who were nearby. The suspect in the hospital is undergoing an evaluation as investigators try to determine his motive. Iran is pledging revenge tonight, accusing Israel of attacking its embassy complex in Syria and reportedly killing at least seven Iranian military officials. That includes a top general. The airstrike comes as Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu faces growing pressure to step down. CBS's Holly Williams has the new developments from Tel Aviv.
An Israeli airstrike destroyed a building belonging to Iran's embassy in Damascus, according to Iranian state media. Iran's Revolutionary Guard said one of their senior commanders was among the dead. Israel's military didn't comment, but it's thought to regularly strike Iran-linked targets. In Jerusalem, for the second day running, protesters called for Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's resignation. And in Tel Aviv on Saturday, demonstrators filled the streets around Israel's defense ministry, protesting Netanyahu's handling of the war.
So you're unhappy with how Israel is waging the war in Gaza?
They are running this war in a way which doesn't have an end in sight.
With the death toll in Gaza now over 32,000, according to the Hamas-run health ministry, Israel's under mounting international pressure to agree to a ceasefire. But Netanyahu appears in no rush and nor does Hamas.
We are besieged, suffocating.
Dr. Bassem Naim is Hamas's head of international relations.
What has this war achieved for Palestinians? Because from outside, it looks as if all that Hamas has achieved is in getting more than 32,000 Palestinians killed.
It's not about this round of confrontation. We are talking about a long journey of suffering of the Palestinians under this occupation.
U.S. and Israeli officials spoke by video conference today about Israel's plans to launch a ground offensive in the city of Rafah in southern Gaza. The U.S. has warned against it without a credible plan to protect civilians. Nora.
Holly Williams, thank you. Big developments tonight on abortion rights in Florida. The Florida Supreme Court paved the way today for a new 6-week ban on the procedure to take effect. The state currently has a 15-week abortion ban in place, and until now, Florida had been viewed as a southern safe haven for abortions with less restrictive rules than neighboring states. The Florida Supreme Court also ruled today that abortion rights will be on the ballot in November, giving voters the final say. Tonight, crews are working around the clock to remove the remains of the Francis Scott Key Bridge in Baltimore in a desperate race to reopen one of the busiest ports in the country. The Army Corps of Engineers calls it the single most important project it's working on. CBS's Nicole Skanga reports President Biden will visit the scene and meet with first responders on Friday.
Buoys in the water and a lifeline in the waterway.
Definitely debris in the water. That's a big concern.
The U.S. Coast Guard now marking clear sections of the channel and today opening up an alternate passageway for smaller ships. Nearby, sparks fly as crews surgically cut the steel remains of the Key Bridge. Tonight, they're poised to remove a 350-ton piece, but problems remain.
What we're finding is it is more complicated than we had hoped for initially. These girders are essentially tangled together, intertwined, making it very difficult to figure out where you need to eventually cut.
It is a mangled, cantilevered mess.
Colonel S.D. Pinchason, Unified Commander of the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers, says crews will scan the underwater superstructure of concrete and twisted metal after each cut. The bodies of two construction workers have been recovered, but four other victims are unaccounted for and presumed dead. As officials brace the dolly ahead of a potential storm system, U.S. Coast Guard Captain David O'Connell.
So we've taken some precautions, put out four anchors on the stern of the vessel to make sure that it's not going to move in a storm.
The whole bridge just collapsed.
Meanwhile, we're learning more about the very first officers to arrive by water to the scene of the crash.
Absolutely.
The head of the Maryland Transportation Authority Police Union tells us officers with the Marine unit raced to the port.
They actually were the first responder vessel to arrive on scene. And they actually rescued the one survivor from the water who was clinging to debris floating in the water.
That alternate channel, now open for business, will accommodate vessels that can operate in shallow waters. Now, that includes some commercial barges, but it also includes boats needed to usher more equipment around the site of the wreckage. Nora?
Nicole Skanga, thank you so much. Now to an update on Sunday's 60 Minutes report on Havana Syndrome. That's the name given to a series of mysterious illnesses reported by more than 100 Americans. A five-year CBS News investigation suggests a Russian intelligence unit may be responsible. CBS's David Martin has the latest from the Pentagon.
The Pentagon now confirms during last year's NATO summit in Lithuania, a senior Defense Department official reported suffering symptoms similar to the mysterious Havana syndrome. Scott Pelley spoke about the incident with retired defense intelligence analyst Greg Edgreen on 60 Minutes.
It tells me that there are no barriers on what Moscow will do, on who they will attack, and that if we don't face this head on, the problem is going to get worse.
Edgreen believes symptoms of severe headaches, dizziness, and nausea are caused by Russian attacks using some form of directed energy device. But the latest assessment by the Director of National Intelligence draws a different conclusion.
That is unlikely a foreign adversary is responsible for these anomalous health incidents.
60 Minutes learned this suspected Russian intelligence agent may be linked to an attack on an FBI agent who appeared in disguise.
And bam, inside my right ear, it was like a dentist drilling on steroids.
And this suspected agent to an attack on the wife of a Justice Department official in the country of Georgia.
I am completely consumed by a piercing sound.
Officials also confirmed Vice President Harris's 2021 arrival in Vietnam was delayed because of multiple reports of possible symptoms among members of her Defense Department advance party.
A U.S. official says intelligence agencies have investigated the cases cited by 60 Minutes and been unable to find hard evidence of a Russian connection. The Kremlin, as you might expect, dismissed the report as baseless and unfounded, but the investigation continues. Nora?
David Martin at the Pentagon, thank you. Tonight, a massive data breach of 73 million current and former AT&T customers to tell you about. The company says sensitive data, including social security numbers, were exposed. Users started getting notified over the weekend. CBS's Jolene Kent reports what you can do to protect yourself.
AT&T now doing damage control after revealing that the personal data of about one in five Americans was stolen and leaked on the dark web 2 weeks ago. The telecom giant says 7.6 million current account holders have been impacted, along with more than 65 million former customers. Among the compromised information, full names, social security numbers, and dates of birth, most of that data from 2019 or earlier.
If you've been affected by this, what's the first thing you should do?
The first thing I would do is make sure that no one is using my social security number to open a new account, checking your credit records, and even considering doing a credit freeze, going to each of the three major credit bureaus and say, hey, don't let anyone open new accounts in my name right now.
This breach is the latest in a string of high-profile hacks. In 2023 alone, there were over 3,200 data compromises in the U.S., a 78% surge compared to the year before. AT&T says it's launched a robust investigation, is resetting passcodes, and will notify users affected by mail and email, which creates another opportunity for cyber criminals, phishing.
A lot of hackers are going to probably be like, I'm going to start emailing people, say, hey, I'm AT&T, please click this link to solve all your security problems. Be careful that there will definitely be bad actors who are trying to exploit people who have been victimized here to maybe victimize them again.
So the key here is look carefully and make sure it is actually AT&T reaching out to you, and never respond to emails with your personal info. Instead, log into your AT&T account or call directly to make any of those changes. The company says it will also offer free identity and credit monitoring services as well. Nora?
It's such an important note. There are a lot of fraudulent emails out there. Jolene Kent, thank you so much. Well, the Final Four is on the line tonight in women's college basketball, but one team now fighting back against sexism off the court. Wait till you see this. That's next.
If you're taking an antidepressant, but you're still masking your depression, you could be experiencing a partial response to your antidepressant.
Partial response happens when your antidepressant alone isn't enough. Let's try adding Rexulti. When added to an antidepressant, Rexulti significantly reduced depression symptoms more than an antidepressant alone. So you can build on your progress.
Rexulti can cause serious side effects. Elderly dementia patients have an increased risk of death or stroke. Antidepressants may increase suicidal thoughts and actions and worsen depression in children and young adults. Report new or sudden changes in mood, behavior, thoughts, or feelings. Or if you develop suicidal thoughts or actions, report fever, stiff muscles, and confusion, which can be life-threatening, or uncontrolled muscle movements, which may be permanent. High blood sugar, which can lead to coma or death. Weight gain, increased cholesterol, low white blood cells, unusual urges, dizziness on standing, falls, seizures, trouble swallowing, or sleepiness may occur. Ask your doctor about Rexulti.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/Wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/Wondery.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Tonight, the biggest game in March Madness, men's or women's, is when Iowa faces off against LSU, a rematch of last year's final. But ahead of that game, there's fresh controversy. LSU head coach Kim Mulkey defending her players after an LA Times columnist disparaged them in sexist and arguably racist terms. The LA Times is now apologizing. Here's CBS's Nikki Batiste.
It was good versus evil in that game today. Evil? Called us dirty debutantes? Take your phone out right now and Google dirty debutantes and tell me what it says. Dirty debutantes? Are you kidding me? I'm not going to let you talk about 18 to 21-year-old kids in that tone. It was even sexist for this reporter to say UCLA was milk and cookies.
LSU women's basketball coach Kim Mulkey firing back at a Los Angeles Times opinion piece written by a male reporter named Ben Bulk.
I'm in the last third of my career, but I'm not going to let sexism continue. And if you don't think that's sexism, then you're in denial.
It was published the day before Saturday night's game between LSU and UCLA and referred to her players as villains and dirty debutantes and likened the Sweet 16 matchup as a battle of good versus evil. LSU guard Haley Van Lith called the article racist.
Calling us basically the dirty debutantes, like that has nothing to do with sports, and that's not motivating.
The LA Times now apologizing to the LSU basketball program and removing the language that they called inappropriate and offensive.
I think there were certainly some elements of sexism and racism in that column. And I think certainly from her perspective, she was right to call them out.
Nikki Batiste, CBS News, New York.
Well, we'll be watching tonight. Fast food workers get a big raise in California, but it's anything but a happy meal for restaurant owners. That's next. Tonight in California, the nation's highest state minimum wage for fast food workers is in effect. The new law means $20 an hour for those working behind the counter or in the kitchen, a 25% raise for some. CBS's Carter Evans reports not everyone is happy with the increase.
Anisha Williams, a homeless mother of six, just got a big pay boost from her job at Jack in the Box.
The day is finally here.
After years of battling business owners, workers at California fast food restaurants with 60 or more locations will now be paid at least $20 an hour. That amounts to a 25% jump from the state's minimum wage overnight.
What does this raise mean for you and your family?
Hope.
But it's not good news for everyone.
Real world impacts are already being seen. Businesses are potentially looking at reducing hours, laying off employees.
Are your employees worried that their hours might get cut?
They're already seeing it happen, unfortunately.
Alex Johnson is a franchise owner of 5 Cinnabons and 5 Auntie Anne's pretzel shops in the Bay Area.
We've already raised prices anywhere from 10 to 15% over those last 3 years, but we're looking to do the same again now with this wage increase.
He says a pretzel that cost $3.99 in 2019 will soon cost $7. Even at Jack in the Box, where Anisha Williams works, menu prices could soon rise up to 8%. A small price to pay, she says, for a life-changing wage increase.
Do you think this raise could help you finally find a place to live?
I'm really crossing my fingers, my toes, and whatever else. But yes, I believe that it can help. It's a start.
Carter Evans, CBS News, Los Angeles.
The good times rolled at the White House today. About 40,000 people took part in the annual Easter egg roll. The theme this year was Eggucation, and the event was led by First Lady Jill Biden, who's been a teacher for more than 30 years. Heart of America is next with a special tribute for two Pearl Harbor heroes.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Finally, tonight's Heart of America, honoring two of the last survivors of Pearl Harbor, who both died recently at the age of 102. Luke Hunter was the last living survivor of the USS Arizona, where more than 1,000 sailors and Marines were killed. Hunter was a quartermaster on December 7, 1941, and he was standing on the main deck of the Arizona as Japanese planes flew overhead. Well, he survived, went to flight school, and then flew 200 combat missions during World War II and the Korean War. And this weekend, Richard Clyde Higgins' body was flown from Portland, Oregon, to his final resting place in Los Angeles. Alaska Airlines Captain Adrian Gretschmann was given the honor at the request of his family. The two had met during his trip to Hawaii for the 80th anniversary of the attacks, and they kept in touch over the years.
Mr. Higgins spent the rest of his life ensuring that we would never forget the sacrifice that he and the other survivors made, and even more so, the sacrifice of those who perished.
They are American heroes, Richard Higgins and Luke Hunter, tonight's Heart of America. And that is tonight's CBS Evening News. I'm Nora O'Donnell. Good night.
If you like the CBS Evening News, you can listen early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music. Before you go, tell us about yourself by filling out a short survey at wondery.com/survey.
I've been a reporter for more than 3 decades, and along the way, I've been talking to myself in notebooks I've carried in my back pocket. They've captured thoughts about life, parenthood, death, friendship, and more. I'm John Dickerson, and I'd like you to join me in figuring out what these 30 years of notebooks mean in my new podcast, Navel Gazing. Each episode, we dig through the piles of notebooks that I've been collecting, and from their entries, try to sort out what makes a life. This collection of audio essays is available wherever you get your podcasts.